Would you stand with me as we pray together? The model prayer from the Bible, with what the disciples asked Jesus to teach them. So will you join me this morning as we corporately pray the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28 is our text for this morning. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But Jesus answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. On this Mother's Day, 2021, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture here in the book of Matthew. When I read and study about this particular mother, I'm reminded that Satan is alive and well. I'm reminded this morning that there are demons all over this world who wreak havoc on humanity, upon people's lives. But even in the midst of that, even though that is allowed in this life, ultimately, even in some of those situations, the glory can come to God. You might ask, well, how on earth can something that's so evil bring glory to God? The answer to that would depend upon how you respond to evil against you or the evil that's around you. For example, God allowed Satan to attack Job. We're studying that on Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings. God allowed Satan to attack Job because Job would ultimately prove his commitment to God to be genuine. God allowed Satan to sift Peter like wheat, knowing that Peter would return and strengthen his brethren. God allowed Satan to send a thorn in Paul's flesh, knowing that it would bring humility to Paul's life. God allowed Paul to deliver such a one as that young man over there in the book of Corinth, where he was turned over to Satan, knowing that his flesh would be destroyed, but his spirit would be saved on the day of Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, the battle against Satan is not only on the pages of Scripture. But let me tell you, the battle against Satan and the demons is fought in your homes. It's fought in your families. Your children, your grandchildren are prime targets. And Satan plants seeds that lead to rebellion and immorality and drunkenness and drugs and pornography. I read just this past week on Christian Post where John MacArthur was speaking to a group of people. He said, "This culture is weaponized to destroy children. It's systematically designed to do that. Laws are being made that will be devastating to children under the pressure of sexual freedom, the desire to make that normal, and to punish people who speak against it with laws in the category of hate speech. The entertainment industry, social media, and big tech literally pump out things that are destroying children's lives. Children are under a relentless assault by all the forces of evil, and they are defenseless. And we have a society and a culture today that wants to make sure that those that are pumping out this destruction are free to keep doing it without any restraint. Children are defenseless, MacArthur emphasized, when their parents sell them to a human trafficker who drops them 8 to 10 feet over a wall into Sodom and Gomorrah all by themselves, or when the Disney Corporation creates characters that are transgender to seduce children into accepting wickedness as normal, or when parents insanely offer their children gender identity options. Children are under assault now. God judges when one generation fails its responsibility to pass on righteousness to the next. A recent study from the Barna Group found that 31% of teenagers and young adults strongly agree that what is morally right and wrong changes over time based on society, compared to just 25% back in 2018. A previous study from the Barna Group characterized Generation Z as the first truly post-Christian generation, with only 4% adhering to a biblical worldview. The mother in this text found in the book of Matthew this morning, she knew what it was like to have a battleground out there in her own backyard. The text says that Jesus went away from Galilee. Jesus withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon, which is what you and I would know today as southern Lebanon. It was distinctly a Gentile region. It was far from the authority of Herod and the influence of the Pharisees. Why is it that Jesus would go out there to such a place? Well, Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus was trying to get off to himself and find a place to rest. In fact, in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, we read, "And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place, for there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." And so Jesus and his disciples had gone away to rest. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 says, Jesus got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre, and when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it, yet he could not escape notice. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 says, "And a Canaanite woman from that region came and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." Mark's gospel tells us that this Canaanite woman's daughter was a child, young people. The question is, can children be attacked and oppressed by demons? And the answer to that is absolutely. And I would add to that, that they are particularly vulnerable. Another question, why would God allow Satan to attack this little girl here in the book of Matthew? I think the answer to that is found in the development of this little girl's mother's faith. Notice, first of all, three things this morning on Mother's Day. Number one, her mother's faith was pointed. This mother was a Canaanite woman. She would have been raised, young people, in a paganistic society that was known for its wickedness and its vileness. She was a descendant of a people that God had commanded the Israelites over there in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 that they go out and conquer and utterly destroy. You see, this Canaanite woman, she was more than likely a worshiper of Asherah, the most popular deity of that region. One might wonder how on earth a child of this age could be demon-possessed, but let me remind you that the Bible teaches that idol worship is actually demon worship. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 20 to 21, Paul was writing to a church that certainly was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And in that church, with all of its problems, Paul said, no, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, young people, the Gentiles were any race that was not Jewish. So he says, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers, he says, in demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Now, young people, that Canaanite mother out there in her pagan lifestyle, they worshiped all kinds of deities and gods and goddesses. And this one particular one, Ashtoreth, was the goddess of fertility. And so it was a depiction that children were often used as sacrifices. In fact, the sacrifice of the firstborn child was oftentimes used in those worship scenes. So kids were very much involved in the worship of this idol demon. Consequently, this little girl that this mother was so concerned about, this little girl was demon possessed. Young people, I want to caution you. I want to share with you, adults, I want to caution us that out there in the world with the internet and with all of the things that are out there on the dark web, I can assure you that if you get involved in a lot of those things that are out there, it can open up to demonic possession. The world is filled with it. You read about it all the time. No doubt this particular mother, she was disillusioned by what she had seen in her own pagan worship. Mark's gospel tells us that she heard about Jesus. And so she goes to meet Jesus and she begins to cry out, have mercy on me, Lord. Son of David, my daughter is cruelly demon possessed. It's very interesting here that she addressed Jesus as the Jewish Messiah, the Son of David. But notice as she addressed Jesus as a distant Messiah for another people, the Jewish people, and for their land, he responded to her. Notice in verse 23 and 24 of Matthew 15. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. But he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, she had called Jesus Messiah. She had called him the Son of David. But I want you to know in verse 25, she came and she began to bow down before him. And she said, Lord, help me. I want you to notice how that her faith is moving from paganism to a developing faith in the one and the only one who could heal her demonic child. And she had fooled around all of those many years with that paganism and that idolatry. And now this little girl of hers is demon possessed. Now God used this terrible situation here to point her away from her paganism and for worshiping all of those strange deities out there. And he leads her to faith in Christ, and he will heal this demon child. This mother loved her daughter, and she was vitally concerned about her little girl. And then something happened, something that the demons certainly did not expect. She finds Jesus. I don't know, but I suppose you and I could speculate this morning that maybe this mother was out there doing some daily duties. Maybe she was washing clothes, and maybe some friend of hers says, have you heard about this man called Jesus? They say he can calm the storms. They say he feeds the multitudes. They say that he can make the winds and the sea obey him. They even say that he has authority over demons. You see, young people, the demons that had possessed this little girl had not planned on her mother coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in this situation, God will be glorified and honored because a mother's faith was pointed away from paganism to faith in Christ Jesus. Secondly, on this Mother's Day, this mother's faith was passionate. Secondly, this mother's face was passionate. She began to cry out. She cried, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." And those disciples, they're upset, young people. They're upset because Jesus is taking the time to listen to this mother's plea. And she is so passionate as she came and she bowed down and she said, "Lord, help me." Can I tell you something this morning? It's okay to get emotional. It's okay for you to cry out to God to help you with your children and your grandchildren. You see, the problem with the world that you and I live in this morning is this: we don't have enough crying mothers and grandmothers out there crying out to Jesus, trying to intercede for the battleground of Satan and his demons that are out there trying to wreak havoc on your children and your grandchildren. I wanted you to know this morning, we are in a spiritual battle in this life. Satan and his demons are trying every way in the world to destroy the family here in America, not to mention all over the world this morning. Those demons are there trying to destroy families and children and marriages and your happiness and your joy. And this mother, she comes passionately. And she comes and she begins to cry out to Jesus. She begins to intercede. Let me tell you, mothers and fathers out there today, the only hope for the world, the only hope for your children, the only hope for your grandchildren this morning is none other than Jesus Christ. Many years ago, my choir sang a Christmas cantata. I love this song. I've taken it with me through life from that day. But it says, "Jesus is still the answer. And though time and the ages roll, Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer for your soul. And though some may say, 'He doesn't fit with my philosophy,' I know Jesus is still the answer. He's always been and always will be." This Canaanite mother, she got serious about Jesus and she began to beg. She began to plead. She began to cry. She began to intercede to the Lord to have mercy upon her demon-possessed child. She was passionate. Her effectiveness, her ferventness availed much. Let me tell you, a mother's tears, a mother's prayers, a mother's tears cannot do or can do only what a youth minister cannot do. A mother's tears can do what the school can't do. A mother's tears can pray that child out of many problems of life. But just as I mentioned last Sunday morning in the service, God looks at how intimate do we truly want to be about our time, our intimateness with God. I read an article yesterday. I thought this was quite interesting. I read this about Chuck Norris, the actor, the martial arts person. Chuck Norris, it said, pays tribute to his mother for her 100th birthday this month. He revealed how that her prayers transformed his life. He said that his mother, Wilma Norris Knight, was born into poverty in Wilson, Oklahoma. She had a difficult life. At the age of 8, she became a ward of the state and she lived in a children's hospital where she suffered from a rare disease for 2 years. Once she was released, she went back home and she looked after her family during the Great Depression and she picked cotton in the fields. At age 16, she married Chuck Norris's father. He abandoned the family and he left her to raise 3 boys alone. Chuck Norris said this, "Mom has been an example of perseverance and faith my whole life. She's also endured the death of two husbands, a stepson, two grandchildren, and my brother who was killed in the Vietnam War. She's had cancer repeatedly and has gone through roughly 30 different surgeries for a host of issues, and yet she's still here at 100 to tell about it. My mother has prayed for me all my life through thick and thin. When I was born, I almost died from complications. When nearly losing my soul to Hollywood a few decades ago, she was back home praying for my success and my salvation. She even prayed for me to find a woman to change my life, and her prayers worked. Mothers, fathers, you cannot pray enough for your children this morning. Let me tell you, this mother began to cry out to Jesus. She realized that he was the only one who could help her in time of need. Let me tell you, our nation suffers from fathers who aren't around for their kids as well. In fact, one researcher found that our nation, America, is suffering from fathers who are not around. 70% of America's adolescent murderers, long-term prisoners, and teenage runaways come from fatherless homes. Those without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty, 4 times more likely to have behavioral problems that require psychiatric treatment, and twice as likely to drop out of school, and twice as likely to go to jail. In fact, one study of 39 teenage girls that were suffering from anorexia showed that 36 of them lacked a close relationship with their father. And Johns Hopkins University found that young white teenage girls living in a fatherless home were 60% more likely to have premarital sex than those living in two-parent homes. One who had worked for 25 years in prison found that he never met a prisoner who loved his father. Most of the world's renowned atheists come from fatherless homes. Let me tell you, on this Mother's Day, back some 2,000 years ago, there was a Canaanite, a Syrophoenician mother who had a child who was demon-possessed. And there was nothing that could rid this child until she heard about Jesus. So her faith was pointed in the right direction to Jesus. Secondly, her faith was passionate toward Jesus. And lastly, her faith was patient. Her faith was patient. Chapter 15, verse 23 said that Jesus didn't answer her a word. Now, you may have prayed and you just felt like Jesus didn't answer. Dr. Robert Smith said, "I'm afraid that the church is committing Christological idolatry, worshiping a Christ that immediately acts, who immediately comforts, and who immediately speaks. Some people want Jesus to be a cosmic vending machine that they can walk up to, put in their quarter, and then kick it when they don't get what they want in protest." Isn't that about the way we are here in America? Let me tell you, Jesus was the only answer. Jesus is the only answer. Verse 23 to 26 says, "But Jesus did not answer her," this Canaanite woman, "a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, 'Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us.' But Jesus answered and said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered and said, 'It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.'" Now, was Jesus calling this Canaanite woman a dog? I mean, after all, the Jews thought that the Gentiles were scum. The Jews, the Pharisees, looked upon the Jews and referred to them as dogs, but Jesus is not referring to a dog in the sense of a cruel, mongrel type dog here. But when you look that word up, it means, in this particular text, a small, little pet dog. What Jesus was simply saying was that Jesus had been sent to the Jews, his own people. Jesus would also be sent to the rest of the world as well. But in this particular moment, he had been sent to the Jews, and she said, even the dogs want crumbs from the master's table. She was speaking about herself, that she needed Jesus. And what Jesus was doing, he was not ignoring her. What Jesus was doing was developing her faith as she began to look to him in this particular situation. Moms, this morning on this Mother's Day, I would adjure you to spend time interceding and praying for your children and for your grandchildren. Fathers, I would admonish you this morning to pray for your children, pray for your grandchildren, because we are in a world that's a spiritual battle out there. And let me tell you, the devil and his demons are vying to destroy America's children and the peoples of this world. And let me tell you, whenever the demons begin to tremble and quake and shake, let me tell you, it's when parents get serious with Jesus and they intercede and they pray to the Father for their children. Mothers, today, on this Mother's Day, pray, pray, pray. Fathers, pray, pray, pray like you've never, ever prayed before, because Satan is alive and Satan is well, and Satan is going to win the victory if we do not get on our knees for our families, our children, and our nation. It is slowly crumbling before our very eyes. Mothers, God bless you. We love you. Thank you for your wonderful devotion and commitment to your families. Pray like you've never prayed before. Would you stand as we pray together?